Hello and welcome to another episode of Game Rivals. I'm your host, Maximilian X, coming to you from the interwebs. As always, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, I appreciate that you're giving another episode another listen, and I hope I get to inform you about the stuff that has been going on in the gaming industry as of the past couple of weeks. So let's not dilly-dilly anymore and go right into the first news article. So this week marks a very sad week because on April 8th, the last day of the Nintendo Network for 3DS and Wii U came and went, and you are unable to play online games anymore on those two systems. Rest in peace. This is something that Nintendo had previously announced about a year ago, that it was going to happen, that the online capabilities would be taken away from these two systems. Previously, the eShops on these two systems were taken away the year before that. So people were already a little bit of melancholic, and now you can't play games online anymore on the system, which is really sad because there's a bunch of games that really rely on having an online community. First and foremost is the Splatoon 1, which still has an active, had an active community. And now that's just, yeah, they have to move on to either Splatoon 2 or 3 for their online fix. And most of the levels that were in Splatoon 1 have been ported in some capacity to Splatoon 2 and Splatoon 3. But not all of them. I think only two stages are missing from Splatoon 1 that are not in either Splatoon 2 or Splatoon 3. Which is, that doesn't sound too bad, but it's also a little bit sad that the other stages are not there. But also having the original stages in their original form is also a little bit sad because they made new versions of these stages from Splatoon 1 in Splatoon 2 and Splatoon 3, but they also tweaked it in ways that makes it feel different from Splatoon 1. I took the liberty of playing a little bit of Splatoon 1 before it went offline. I streamed it a little bit. I streamed maybe a couple of matches just to get back into things, and I gotta say, playing with the Wii U gamepad Splatoon, that is honestly the best way to play. It's okay if you play it on like a pro controller or on Joy-Cons, that's fine, but it was meant for the Wii U gamepad, and playing it on that again, it felt so natural to move around the gamepad to aim and walk around and do all these things and just have a blast, y'all. Just have a blast. There are also some features that are going to be missing from games like Xenoblade Chronicles X, where you could squad up with other people to do online missions that were exclusive for online. Those missions are now dead. Granted, they are not stories related, but they are related to how the game works and one of the premises of the game, which is you're on this planet and you're trying to claim this planet. And the whole point of it is that you work as squads, as teammates, to further this goal of claiming this planet. And you have different factions that you could belong to. You could sign up for one faction or another. You could compare factions' growths and every week and see like which faction did better last week, which faction is doing great this week. Are you going to stick with the faction that you chose, or are you going to switch sides and try and become the best faction and reclaim all this territory? That's gone. One of the biggest blows is Mario Maker. The original Mario Maker is completely different from Mario Maker 2 on Switch, which is not to say that Mario Maker 2 on Switch is bad, but it is different. Mario Maker 2 does not support Amiibo, which the original one did. And people made such really cool levels based off costumes that they could get from Amiibos. A lot of people used like the Sonic one to make Sonic levels in Mario Maker. Are you kidding me? That's so weird. It reminds me of those Mario hacks that you had in the past for like the Super Nintendo that people used to make and throw online and be like, oh, look, it's Sonic in Super Mario World, or it's Sonic on the Super Nintendo, just like outright. They made like, I remember this ROM hack of a non-existent Sonic game, but it was made for the Super Nintendo. It's like, but why? That's so weird. I mean, it was fun. It wasn't a great game or anything. But yeah, reliving such hacker delight moments in the original Mario Maker, those are gone. I mean, people already couldn't upload new levels for a couple of years now, but now you can't even download them anymore. That's so sad. That's really disappointing. And we know that they're not going to bring those features back to the new one unless they somehow, for some reason, make a sequel to Mario Maker and bring back amiibo support, which is super weird because they still make amiibos. They are just kind of sort of phasing out amiibo functionality, even though they said that they would be supporting amiibos for the long haul. It's a whole thing. But yeah, so there's other games like that. There's Wii Sports Club that had a super weird rental system for if you wanted to go online, which how are you going to do that now? That anyway, there are ways to get around this if you really want to, but are a lot of people going to take the effort to do so? Are you going to do the effort to go around Nintendo's dead servers so that you can play online again with Mario Kart 8, which is fundamentally the same as Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? It's just there are some things that are a little bit different, like the fact that you only have one item instead of two items that you can hold. The battle mode is absolute doo-doo. And yeah, I mean, it also had less DLC, of course, but it still originally had Link and Link was added, but Splatoon was not. So yeah, it's sad. It's a sad moment, you guys. But this, again, shows you that publishers, the mostly publishers, system holders, don't really care in preserving stuff like this. And I kind of wish we could make them care more about stuff like this in the name of preservation. I mean, you guys already know I'm a big fan of preservation. I'm also a big retro gamer, so that's also part of that. But it is sad to see that you won't be able to get the full experience for some games anymore, or be able to play some games at all that rely on that online functionality, whether you're selling more copies or not. There's still customers that bought it and hope to actually be able to play it no matter when they feel like it, and now they can't. Now you're either forcing them to buy into the new games that may not feel the same way as the other games. It's sad. Moving on to the next item on the list, I'm just going to briefly touch upon this because, one, I haven't played the game, and two, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. I just wanted to mention this real quick because I saw it in my feed. So apparently a bunch of hackers have been hacking Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and have been playing with unreleased characters and skins for that game. Now, recently, they just released Season 1 that added the Joker. And yeah, just the Joker, that's it. And nothing really else. Just a bunch of reskinned stuff and more grinding. Which, you know, why? The game is already a grind, apparently. Why are you doing this to your fans? Like, how can you even justify that as a developer or as a publisher? They don't care. But as a developer, it's like, you know, fans don't really aren't really happy with this game. I know that there are some diehards out there that do enjoy the game. And you know what? More power to you if you're able to enjoy the game. That's fantastic, honestly, because no game deserves to not be supported. Unless it's actual garbage or actually trying to steal your money, which, well, this kind of tries to do that too, but at least to a lesser degree, from what I can tell. But yeah, that's so keep an eye out if you are out there and you are playing it and you want to be surprised by whatever Rocksteady has up their sleeve for the next couple of seasons for the game. Just be careful out there. And the next story that I want to talk about is the Baldur's Gate 3 dev publishing director is calling the game industry out about the layoffs that has been going on around the industry and calling an avoidable F up. Basically, what the publishing director is saying is that the industry-wide layoffs are inevitable is just not true. And I kind of have to agree with them, because the only reason why this is happening is because if we're going to look at the growth of the games industry year over year, most developers and publishers did well. They just didn't do as well as the year before or the year before that. Now, gee whiz, what was different in those years? Maybe it's because everybody was stuck home during a pandemic and had time to play video games. And now that everybody's gone back to work and being forced to go back to their office, people have less time to play games. Therefore, the sales are a little bit lower, despite the fact that they still made a profit. My oh my, how do you get around that fact? I mean, just how do you even think that, oh, so the solution is going to be let's fire people? That is really stupid and really insincere. And people are like, yeah, it's capitalist, capitalist. Look, Japan is also a capitalistic country, but apparently they have laws there that prevent people from getting fired as a way to appease the shareholders. You know who gets a paycheck cut first? The freaking execs on the top. And until they explore every other avenue, the most last thing that they're even allowed to do is fire people. So Japanese companies like Nintendo, Square Enix, Capcom, at least in Japan, not their Western branches, because their Western branches still fall under Western laws, so they still can do stuff like fire people if they feel that they need to save some bucks. Japan, the executives have to take a paycheck cut for that year. So they don't get bonuses, they take a pay cut, and that is how they save their talent. And the funny thing is, I heard something recently about that this is just an inevitable cycle wherein people get laid off like throughout the entire industry. And then basically after a couple of months or a year, people get rehired, but at other studios, just to have the cycle repeat again another 5 to 10 years. That is, when I heard that, I was like, that's insane. Who thinks that's actually a good way to promote good working environments and drive people to actually do their work and be creative and work worry-free? How do you do that? Like, even if the laws allow you to fire people, maybe don't. Maybe take that pay cut and just have a couple of million dollars less and pay your people and say, hey, look, your job is secure. We're taking the pay cut because we weren't forward-viewing enough. We didn't look far enough into the future to see what's going to happen. It is our bad. So we take the pay cut. You don't have to worry about your job. Just focus on doing the very best that you can. That's all they need to do. You know how friggin' amazing the game industry would be? And also, while we're at it, why are you spending so much money making games, AAA developers? It's like publishers, actually, to be more specific. You kind of don't need to. We have seen a lot of indie titles doing way better on a smaller budget. And I hate to bring this up again, but Palworld is a very good example of that. They haven't had to let people go. In fact, they have so much money, they don't even know what to do with it anymore. They are currently reinvesting in it and hiring more people so that they can actually continue to produce the game and make it better. What are other developers and publishers doing? Specifically publishers, again, hiring people, and it just makes no sense. And like, look no further than Embracer Group, which bet on the wrong gosh darn horse for investment. And then they have to let a bunch of people go, destroy a bunch of legacies, and like have IPs just disappear overnight. And it's a great thing that at least Saber Interactive was able to save some of that. And Gearbox was also kind of able to save some of that because they got bought by Take-Two recently. And yeah, with Saber Interactive, we're going to get to them in another article in a bit. But it shouldn't be like this. This is just sad. And I have to agree with Larian's publishing director that's just not true, that this was inevitable. It was preventable if you executives just took a pay cut. What are the shareholders going to say? Oh, you took a pay cut? So, yeah, took a pay cut. They saved you money by taking a pay cut. They saved people's livelihoods by taking a pay cut and still moseying on and trying to get better at the games that they make and hopefully be a little bit more economical when they develop games. AAA development doesn't necessarily have to be this expensive. It never was this expensive. It just started ballooning over the past 20 plus years. And it's still ballooning, and it still doesn't make sense to me. Because there are still developers out there that make good stuff on a smaller budget. And it's, to me, it's weird. It's sad. It's weird. All I have to say is, yes, I agree with that. And I don't know how other people feel about that, but that's how I feel about it. So apologies if I'm getting a little bit passionate about it. It's just that just kind of sucks, because now if you're like looking for a job in the game industry as a veteran, you're just going to, you know, that you're going to be in this pony dance show again in about like 5 years to a decade. Kind of sucks. Kind of really puts the brakes on everything. Especially on creativity. At least that's how I feel about that. So yeah, moving on to something a little lighter. We have something really cool. I don't really talk about apparels in Game Rivals because why would I? But this one I have to talk about. It's one of my favorite things. I honestly probably should have put one of my shirts on for this one, but that's fine. So you probably will have heard of this clothing company called Uniqlo. It's a Japanese brand. They make, you know, clothing and stuff and apparel and whatnot. And they always have these collaborations that they do with different brands like Peanuts, Hello Kitty, but also gaming stuff like Nintendo, Capcom, specific franchises. They have done so many Monster Hunter collabs. It is ridiculous. And they are coming up with a new collab with Nintendo. Specifically, a Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom collab. You can find this as reported on Video Games Chronicle. Some screenshots of the t-shirts that they have. Some of them are, you know, your typical graphic t-shirts. But some of them have really cool and innovative designs to them, which is really nice. They have one with the Koroks, some Koroks, random Koroks over your shirt. It's kind of cute. It would be cute if people didn't despise the Koroks. And they had one that was really cool. It's like the sign guy from the real estate that, you know, that you find all throughout Hyrule. Then you have to help to keep the sign up. And they put them in the little pocket. It's really friggin' cute. So they have some shirts that are like that and some others that are really more what you would expect from a graphic t-shirt. So yeah, this is apparently going to come out sometime this month. In Japan, we don't know when it's going to roll out to the rest of the world, but usually it takes a couple of months for it to really spread out to the rest of the world for other people to buy and enjoy. And you know me, I will definitely get some because I already have a bunch of Uniqlo graphic t-shirt collaborations. I got the Spy Family one. I got some Monster Hunter ones. I got some Nintendo ones, a Splatoon one. I got the Mario one, which is one of my favorite shirts to wear. So yeah, that looks cool. I wanted people to know that. Hopefully when it arrives at your region, you are able to grab one. And hey, let's see what it is. Let's see the fit, how you wear it, how you do it. If you like it, if you don't, I would like to see that. Moving on to the next article, we are heading straight for Summer Game Fest. It's only a couple of months away. It starts June 7th. And yeah, Ubisoft has announced that Ubisoft Forward for that period as well. It's going to be in that same week. Monday, June 10th is when the Ubisoft Forward is going to be playing. We don't know what they are going to show there yet because Ubisoft haven't said anything yet, but they have a whole bunch of stuff that they announced last year that are probably going to do an update about, you know, X Defiant, a bunch of Assassin's Creed stuff. Maybe we'll get an update on that Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. Here's to hoping. Apparently, allegedly, there's also a rumor going around that the Dead Cells developers are making a new Prince of Persia game in that style, sort of roguelike. I hope it's true because that kind of sounds pretty friggin' awesome. If you add the time mechanics from Sands of Time to that and just... And also, the Dead Cells is just a good game. You can't really go wrong with those devs. I know that they're also working on a new game, so if the rumor ends up being true, that would be great, fantastic. I don't know when that game would then come out, because like I said, they're also working on their own new original IP since they ended development of Dead Cells. So that's at least something to look forward to this summer. Summer Game Fest is almost here. There's a bunch of stuff in terms of gaming that is almost here. The summer period is usually where E3 used to be, rest in power E3. I'm so sad that I never got to experience one in person. All of that I experienced was always, just like most of you, through the internet, watching all those funny and cringy presentations, that those live presentations, until everybody started mimicking the Nintendo Direct stuff and just making pre-recorded stuff, which is still cringy, but not as cringy as the live stuff, because live stuff could go wrong. And yeah, I guess we have Summer Game Fest to look forward to now. And now also Ubisoft Forward. We also know that Xbox is holding an event around that same time. That are probably going to do another presentation. Probably an Xbox Insider thing as well. We haven't heard anything about a PlayStation Showcase. But there is a rumor that there's going to be a PlayStation Showcase this May. So not 100% sure how that is going to work with planning for if they're actually going to show something during Summer Game Fest or not. Maybe they'll have a state of play during the Game Fest. Maybe this showcase will not be in May, but it'll be another state of play, and they'll do an actual showcase during Summer Game Fest or around that period of time. Only time will tell. We have no idea what Nintendo's going to do around that time either, so there's that. All I can say is look forward to the summer. I'm pretty sure there's going to be something that you will enjoy, that I'll enjoy, or that someone else will. And lastly, the last story that I want to talk about is, I was already talking about Saber Interactive and that they have essentially bought their own freedom because the CEO of Saber Interactive is part of this other conglomerate thing. And that conglomerate thing has bought Saber Interactive and some subsidiaries underneath them. And the IPs that belong to that. And now they are essentially safe for the most part. And you know what else is also safe, apparently? Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake. So when that game was announced, it was originally an Aspyr project. Aspyr was working on that game. Apparently it wasn't going well at all. And considering Aspyr's history of making remakes, specifically Star Wars ones, those have been hit or miss, and a little mix of both. Especially if you look at the latest release that they did, which was the Battlefield Collection, which, that's not great. I think even to this day, there's still only a few servers that they're able to play, and people are not able to play, and it's not great. I think it's improved a little bit, but not by much, so... Then you can understand why they took the project away and gave it to Saber Interactive to work on. But after they gave it to Saber Interactive, we heard nothing. Then Embracer Group started collapsing in on itself. And now we know that Saber Interactive is still working on that game. And apparently it's going really well, according to the CEO. And they're working diligently on it. The CEO gave an interview to IGN, so if you want to read more about that, you can do that. But basically, the general consensus is that they're working on it We don't know when this is going to be coming out, but I don't think you should expect it anytime soon, because they started working on it somewhere last year. So if Saber Interactive has been working from the ground up again to start this project anew, because I feel like that's the only best way to go about it, then this game is not going to be out for at least 3 more years by my estimates. And again, these are my estimates. It could be sooner, but if it is sooner, it might feel like a rush job if all they're doing is just upgrading textures. I feel like they should take a page from Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth and just reimagine what that game means and just look at what the fundamentals of that game was, what made KOTOR good, and iterate on that in a modern way and make it even better. But that's just me. Who am I? I'm not a developer. But yeah, that at least there's some good news at the end of the tunnel when it comes to stuff that Embracer is in charge of. Oh boy, Embracer. Thanks for permanently scarring the game industry in this fashion. I hope that when the dust finally settles on Embracer, whatever dev teams they have left hunker down and do the good fight and make the games that they want to make. And I hope they never buy any more studios ever again. I hope that any studio out there that in like 10 years time, they get an offer from Embracer, just say no, no matter how much money they throw at them. Just say no. It's way more lucrative to do it for yourself or get bought by someone else, which I don't really like that person idea, but it is what it is. That's how the industry is. The studios get bought by other studios. It's just how the industry works. But yeah, that is, that's great, especially for KOTOR fans out there that have been waiting so long for more news about this specific project. Now that we have more to go off of, I think people can breathe a sigh of relief and patiently wait until that game comes. And that is going to be it for me this episode of Game Rivals. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to leave a like, leave a comment, give us some feedback. Subscribe so that you're always up to date on the latest episode of Game Rivals. If you're listening to this, we are also available on your favorite podcasting service. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, while it still lasts, Overcast, you name it, we're probably there. If you want to give us feedback through email form, you can do that as well. It's gamerivalsfeedback@gmail.com. You can find me there. I can read those also on episode if there are some interesting feedback on there. If you want to find me, I'm also on Twitch. I stream usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and whenever days I am able to stream, that's twitch.tv/Maximilian_X. You can also find me on Instagram @Maximilian_X or on TikTok as well. So thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. I have been, and always be, Maximilian X, and I'll see all of you beautiful rivals next time. Later.